makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Your neighborhood druggist knows a lot about people and their problems. Perhaps you've gone to him with some of yours. Colds, cosmetics, tonics, the list is endless. He is always glad to recommend something that is sure of giving satisfaction. That's why druggists all over America are glad to sell and recommend X-Lax. Because X-Lax is as mild and as gentle as any laxative you may take. And yet, for all its mildness, it is completely thorough. Combine these qualities with the taste, which is truly delicious because X-Lax tastes just like smooth, velvety chocolate, and you will understand why more X-Lax is used than any other product of its kind in the whole world. More than 46 million boxes were used in America alone last year. That tells the story. So the very next time you or any member of your family needs a laxative, just ask your druggist for a box of X-Lax. It is only 10 cents a box.
The world's most valuable book. Do you know that the world's most valuable book can be bought for a few cents, and that it is seldom read now, although it was once opened with amazement and superstitious awe? Who wrote this book? Go back to 1298, to Genoa. In a military prison cell below the earth, Marco Polo, a captive soldier, is telling his experiences to another prisoner who is writing them down on parchment.
Of the manner in which we took our departure from the court of Kublai Khan, you have already heard. But for that chance, we should never have got back to Venice again. I believe it was God's pleasure that we should get back in order that people might learn the marvelous things the world contains. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
What else, Marco Polo?
Nothing else, Rusticello. It is finished.
Ah, Marco. Someday men will read this manuscript and long to travel the same road that you travel. They will dream of the golden road to Samarkand, of the celestial city where the sun smiles all day long, and the jasmine waters that glisten in the laughter of the morning.
I hope so, Rusticello. Now they call me Marco Millius. They think me a foolish liar who lost his wits in China and his heart to Kukachin, Princess of Xanadu. But someday, some other man may set forth on my road and see the seven wonders of the world.
Marco Polo was right. Men did read his manuscript. Vasco da Gama read it and set sail for Africa, to finally reach India by sailing around the Cape of Good Hope. Columbus read it and reached the West Indies. Magellan read it and went around the world. Strange as it seems, all of the important explorations of the world are founded on one book, The Travels of Marco Polo. The Poison Eaters. Arsenic is a deadly poison. You would not think of eating it. Yet in Austria is a group of peasants who eat arsenic daily and thrive on it. In It is market day in Eberswalde, a little town in the Austrian province of Styria. Arthur Potter, an American artist, is being shown the sights by his friend Franz Kienberg.
Well, Arthur, does this appeal to your artistic soul?
Oh, yes. She's wonderful. Glorious.
What are you talking about?
Well, that girl over there by the vegetable booth.
She is lovely. Oh,
she's a perfect peasant type. Look at those eyes and that gorgeous camellia skin. I swear, I believe she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
She is beautiful. It's too bad you can't paint her, eh, Arthur?
Yes. I'm going to ask her if she'll go to Vienna and pose for that mural. Do you think she'd do it?
If you pay her, she might. These peasants are all poor.
Oh, will she understand English?
Perhaps. She's probably one of those arsenic eaters.
Huh?
Tourists always want to talk to them.
Arsenic eaters?
You see how white her skin is. All the arsenic eaters have that ivory white skin. Now, there's quite a colony of them living near here.
Eating arsenic? Why, it'll kill you.
They do.
Oh, Franz.
I don't see how, but they all eat it from childhood. The men are perfectly magnificent, and you can see how the women look.
Well, for heaven's sake, what next? Well, arsenic or no arsenic, I'm going to ask her about posing for me.
Well, I hope she doesn't think you're trying to insult her.
Don't worry. Oh, madame.
Yeah? What you want?
You're very beautiful, and
Oh, yeah? You wish to know of arsenic, huh?
Arsenic? I wanted to know if...
I have eaten arsenic ever since I was born. Dr. Savio have such white skin. I am not poisoned by it, and I never get sick. That is all I can tell you. Well, now, you wish to give me some money, yeah?
I want you to come to Vienna. I want to paint your picture.
Oh.
I'll give you a lot of money.
Go away? From here?
Yes. Oh, you can bring your mother or sister with you.
Oh, no. No, I could not go, never.
But really, really, it'll be quite all right.
Oh, no. You not understand. If we leave here, we die.
What? You mean they'd kill you?
No. We cannot go away. If we leave our lands, we die.
Oh, nonsense.
My sister, she married. She went to Innsbruck. But she died very soon.
On account of eating arsenic?
No, because she could not get arsenic there.
Oh, surely you're mistaken. Oh, please come to Vienna.
Oh, you go, please. My father come. He get angry if he see you with me. Go away.
Oh, well, if that's what you...
Oh, auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye, sir. Goodbye.
Well, I'll be. Oh, well, that's that.
Well, Arthur, tell me what happened.
She says she'll die if she goes to Vienna. These peasants are all like children.
No, she's right.
What?
These peasants can't leave their lands. The arsenic they get out of the ground keeps them alive and healthy. When they don't eat it, they seem to fade away.
That gorgeous creature, a slave to a thing like that.
Perhaps that's the penalty for being the most beautiful woman in the world.
Strange as it seems, peasants in Styria, Austria, actually do eat arsenic. No one knows how the practice began, nor why they are not affected by the death-dealing dose which they consume each day. When arsenic is taken from them, they lose their vitality and die. The Horse Trough Will. ...1929, Sydney, Australia. The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is in a turmoil because of a certain will left by George Bill of Sydney. Mail has been so heavy that the secretary of the Society has had to hire more clerks.
Yes, that'll do. And now, Mr. Hallam, what is it I can do for you, sir?
Well, I represent the town of Gympie.
Yes?
Yes, we wishes to make application for one of the horse troughs Mr. Bill provided for in his will.
Oh, yes. Excuse me, Mr. Hallam.
Yeah.
Are you there? Yes? Yes, this is the secretary speaking. Oh, you're calling from Melbourne. Yes, Mr. Bill left £70,000 for establishing horse troughs wherever needed. You wish to apply for six? I'm afraid that we can't allow one city to have so many. I know that Melbourne is a big city, but even Sydney isn't going to get 6 Hostrovs. I beg your pardon. Good day. Imagine, that man in Melbourne insinuated that it was a bigger city than Sydney.
Yes, now, Mr. Secretary, to get back to Gympie. Am I to understand that Mr. Bill left all that money so that any city in the world could have a horse trough if he wanted one?
That is correct.
Ah.
We already have hundreds of applications from England, as well as from the United States.
Well, then I want to make an effort...
Good morning, mail, sir. There are a lot of letters from the United States, sir.
Oh, yes, let me look. Oh, yes, sir. See, Mr. Hallam? Clarksville, Indiana.
Yes, but off of my
wait, wait, wait. Oh. Waterville, Ohio. St. Leon, Mississippi. North, Tonawanda, New York. You know, it's simply astounding how that will of Mr. Bill's has struck the popular fancy.
Yes, yes, it's all very interesting. Now, to get back to Gympie, when can I have the horse trough?
You must fill out this card.
Card? Yes,
so that we can thoroughly investigate
fill
your
out claim. Fill out a card? Well, that's an outrage, sir. You don't think I want the horse trough for myself, do you?
Merely a matter of form, Mr. Heller. Merely a matter of form.
Stuff and nonsense. You're just overcome with your own importance.
What?
Yes, that's what it is.
Mr. Hallam, on behalf of the Sydney Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, I must reprimand you.
What? Does Gympie get horse trough or doesn't it?
Just fill out the card, Mr. Hallam.
Card, card, card my foot. I drove all the way from Gympie in a truck so that I could bring the horse trough back with me. And all I get is fill out a card. And I must investigate your claim as if I was a thief.
Mr. Hallam, there is no need to be hasty. I am here to act as executor of the money that Mr. Bill left for the Hostoffs. And if you and Gympie don't wish to cooperate, then I shall be compelled to have you forcibly removed from this office.
What? You and what army, huh?
There you
are. There you are. Find another. I can take you and bring you in.
Strange as it seems, at his death, Mr. George Bill of Sydney, Australia, left £70,000, or $350,000, for the establishment of horse troughs throughout the world. Applications for the thousands rolled into the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals as soon as this strange will became known. Once in a while, public opinion unites from coast to coast behind a man or an idea or a product. And when it does, it means overwhelming success. Well, public opinion has made Ex-Lax the largest selling laxative in the whole wide world. In America alone, more than 46 million boxes were used last year. But it's logical that Ex-Lax should be the best seller. It is so mild and gentle that you hardly know you have taken a laxative. And yet, for all its mildness, it is thoroughly effective. And what a joy Ex-Lax is to take. It tastes just like the finest, most delicious chocolate. If you don't know how pleasant and how agreeable a laxative can be, then try Ex-Lax the next time you need one. The price is pleasant, too. It is only 10 cents a box at any drugstore. During the French Revolution, there was a man who passed in and out of Paris as a baby. Although employed by an aristocrat, this man was never discovered. Listen to the next broadcast. You will also meet one of the best-known figures in the history of America. And yet, this man is a complete mystery. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, with original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. The Southern Cross flew around the world with propellers made of cotton.